passage. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today, each of us concerning our lives, especially when we are in situations or circumstances that really don't appeal to us, and that you empower this message by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One night on this farm, these twin boys, about 8 years old, they were saying their prayers, and one twin said his prayers. Then he ended with a very earnest prayer. He says, "Lord, have mercy on my brother here. He can't even milk a cow." And before he could say amen, the other twin interrupted and shouted, "Lord, it's just not so. I milked half a bucket of milk, and you know it." That story expresses a hidden truth. Some people think you should always be on your best manners before God in prayer, like a guest in the house, but I'm of the opinion that being quite frank with God is much more important than trying to fool God with nice prayers all the time, because you can't do it anyway. And when we come to God with our real feelings, then's when we can develop a special relationship with God. We cannot hide our real feelings from God anyway, but by bringing them openly to Him, we are able to deepen our fellowship with God. And you know, God hears our most negative prayers. I've been here long enough to know that most of us can be negative or irritated at times. We can be angry or depressed or worried and just upset about something. So I want to talk to you this morning about talking back to God. Anybody ever do? I won't ask for hands. You'll lie to me anyway. If we're honest, we either have done it or would like to do it. We just might be just too nice to do it. In life, many demands and stresses are put upon us, and we become very resentful of our life situation at times, or we have to deny that we are resentful. When we deny we're resentful, all we're doing is covering up what is really going on. And more than likely, we haven't really dealt with the situation at all. A lot of times we just grin and bear it, you might say, but inside, we're steaming. Now, this resentment needs to be brought before God in prayer. Sometimes God deals with the situation. Sometimes God deals with you or us, because we're incorrect in our thinking and feelings. I want to point out a few areas where we can be very resentful of things. We become resentful when we're expected to make a radical change in our way of life in order to grow up and put away childish ideas. A lot of times we just don't want to do that. We get resentful. We become resentful when we are expected to carry more responsibility than we think we should be asked to carry. And so we get resentful. We become resentful when we think that we are totally alone in life. And a lot of times it's through loss, you know, such as a loss of someone or some group of people that we might consider very dear to us, or the loss of something like the loss of a job. We become resentful when some basic need of ours for love or acceptance or recognition, a place of leadership, gets frustrated or denied. And the real question in this resentment is, can we express our resentments to God in prayer and say to God that we really don't like the way God or the world or other people or life is treating us? And the bottom line answer to that question is, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And actually, it's really the best if we do speak to God about these kinds of things. And we need to tell things as they are in our prayer, or at least perceptions of how we see things, because sometimes our perceptions are wrong. There are many of us who don't do this. And what is bad about that is we do not open ourselves up to God's power to help us or to make radical changes, maybe in our own way of life or thinking, or possibly in the way that we are looking at a particular situation or circumstance as well. Depending on what is really going on, we need to deal with our resentment. We also fail to look up long enough to discover those around us who just might be able to share our resentments with us and help us work through them in terms of our own lives. We fall back into self-pity and our over our own gripes and grudges and our griefs. We live in false expectations that life is to be without frustrations of any kind. The main loss, however, is a fellowship of prayer with God, who can be our daily help and our guide. Scriptures here that we have in Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 to 15, is a pretty good example of anger and resentment in a man, and he's a man of God, and his prayer to God about his situation. Now, it sounds like a conversation, but the truth is, real prayer is conversation. The people of Israel are whining and moaning to Moses. They are complaining about all their misfortunes, and they have a craving for some meat, and they express all this complaining to Moses. Well, they weren't keeping any secrets from God either, for that matter, and God got a little put off with them, and some of the outlying camp was burned because of it. In the long run, though, God gave them what they wanted and more. He gave them enough meat, enough for a month, until it was coming out their noses. But the whole passage is a commentary of how disgusting we can at times be at times with our own whining and moaning in our lives. There's a lesson here for that kind of thankless attitude that takes place, but that's for another day. In the midst of all this whining and moaning, Moses, the leader, he expresses his feelings of injustice and frustrations with the childish whinings of the Israelites, and he goes directly to God with it. He brings his resentment to God in prayer, and he challenges God's wisdom with it. Read with me Numbers 11, 10 to 15. Here we go. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou dost lay the burden of all this people upon me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I bring them forth? That thou shouldst say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries the sucking child, to the land which thou didst swear to give to their fathers?' Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat, if I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me at once, if I find favor in thy sight, that I may not see my wretchedness.'" Now, friends, that prayer is essentially backtalk. Moses is frustrated, resentful, hacked off, and is being brutally honest with his feelings before God. He says to God, "Either fix it or fix me. I don't care which, just take care of this mess and get me out of it. The burden of this situation, the responsibility is killing me." A guy in first service says, "So what you're saying is," he says, "just kill me, God." Well, God listens to the prayer. God listens to the prayer, and it's a prayer of resentment and frustration and even anger. Here's Moses' direct expressions of feelings. Moses' prayer, which was really talking back to God, was answered. God gave him direction. He gave him guidance with how to deal with the problem. And if you read on, and we will in a couple minutes, God gets Moses to get 70 guys, 70 elders of the people, to help him. Part of Moses' prayer was that the burdens were too heavy. He couldn't carry them all. And God heard the prayer, and he gave him real growth as a leader. He grew in wisdom. He got others to help him in his struggles. Now, let me ask you about your resentments. Do you have enough sense to listen to God's instructions when it comes to your resentments and frustrations? That's a rhetorical question. I won't ask for hands. Have you ever prayed this prayer? "Lord, either fix this situation or fix me. I don't care which. Just get me out of this." Anybody ever prayed that? Well, if you have you listened to the part of the answer of sharing burdens? Moses was given the direction to share his burdens. That's wisdom. You may need to share your frustrations, resentments with other people who will help you carry those burdens. You see, God answered Moses' prayer. But in the midst of that answer, Moses learned the truth that God did not expect him to be limitless in his ability to take care of the business of his life. Neither does God expect you to be limitless in the ability to take care of the business of your life. Let's read verses 16 and 17 together and hear the answer to Moses' frustration and resentment. And the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the Spirit which is upon you, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." Now, listen here. God said he would take some of the Spirit from Moses and put it on these other guys to help share the burden. Now, in this instance, God is speaking of the Holy Spirit, the power and the authority that comes with the anointing of his Spirit that was resting on Moses. And he would take some of that Spirit and put it on these other people. But there may be another sense in which God took some of the Spirit of frustration and resentment and anger that was on Moses that was building up inside of him and gave that burden spirit to these men as well. The principle here is that shared burdens reduce our resentment. If you keep it all in yourself, all you do is burn yourself up on the inside. But if you can find someone or others to share your burdens, it will release the power of God into your situation, and it releases all that pent-up frustration that may be there as well. You know, it takes courage to express displeasure, feelings of injustice, frustration, resentment, and hopelessness to God directly. But if we come to Him with a full heart and we seek answers and strength, that kind of prayer is answered by God. Usually, it is answered with people around us. You need to hear that again. Usually, it is answered with people around us who share the burdens. Also, sometimes in the midst of that sharing come answers that speak to the situation as well. God wants us to approach His throne of grace with confidence, the confidence of being His children, that we might find mercy and grace and receive direction and help in the needs that we have in terms of our lives. In Jesus Christ, God the Father has come to us to meet us on our level in our everyday, most desperate concerns and to hear our frustrations and our resentments. Our problem is a lot of us have been programmed differently by our society and sometimes by our parents a lot of the times. We have a tendency to take the way our parents dealt with us and make that the way that God deals with us. We tend to think about God the same way that we think about how we experienced our lives as children being raised by our parents. And let me give you an example of this. It goes something like this. Now, I'm sure none of you have never done any of this to your children, but you may have had it done to you. It goes something like this. Parent says, "I don't want any more of your back talk. You hear me? You be quiet and you shut your mouth. I'm sick and tired of listening to your belly aching. You understand me? Do as I say because I say so. If you so much as open your mouth," and there it is. And we grow up. And guess what? This is how we tend to think about God, too. We think God will be mad at us if we talk back to Him. We will be destroyed. we're supposed to knuckle under. We're supposed to say that everything that happens is God's will and never to be questioned, especially in our prayers to God. We can grumble among ourselves or to each other, but we can never pour out our complaints to God himself. Now, I'm using this prayer time here in Numbers of when Moses was talking to God. And by the way, that's what prayer is. You're just talking to God or listening to him. And basically, Moses said, either fix it or fix me. God, I don't care which. Just take care of this mess and get me out of it. The burden, the situation, this responsibility is killing me. That's what he said. Now, lest you think this is the only place that this kind of prayer is actually raised up or that God's people talk back to God, there are others as well. Read with me Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2. This is a psalm of David, by the way. You can forget the first line. Here we go. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but find no rest. That's David, and he is frustrated when he wrote that. In the book of Job, and I have several verses that kind of run together in the third chapter, let's read them. Now, if you know the story of Job, he had problems. Here we go. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night which said, a man-child is conceived. Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb, and expire? For my sighing comes as my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. That's a man who is definitely going to God with complaint. You can read others, but God does not leave us prayer without talking to us. Ezekiel at one point came face to face with God, and he fell on his face in fear, but God told him to stand up. Let's read Ezekiel 2, 1 and 2. And he said to me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. You know, God knows us before we even speak. God knows us. We can't hide from him. We can't add to God's knowledge of us by letting him know our inmost thoughts. We're the ones who get enriched. And as Ezekiel, stand up here. I want to talk to you about this. In the Bible, talking back to God is a reality and needs to be raised up to show that true faith in God encompasses our angers, our frustrations, our resentments. By talking to God about the things that really burn at us, we are able to speak to someone who loves us and understands us better than we understand ourselves. And he also sees our situation and how that fits into our lives and into his will. And he sometimes reveals to us the higher vision that we need to see in terms of those frustrations if we listen. He gives us wisdom and insight into our own lives, and also the burdens that we carry. And talking to God about our darkest thoughts, bringing them to him in prayer, has a way of making us think them through ourselves and helps us receive from God his revelation to us of what we really do think and what we really are involved in and how we are to deal with the life that we have in terms of what's going on. And another thing that talking back to God helps us to get through in our own self-pity. Of course, none of us have that, right? Or our own self-indulgence. Talking back to God helps us keep from putting our own hurts or our gripes or grudges or our griefs up on this pedestal called self-pity. when we begin to talk back to God and yell at him, or we ask, why? Why me, Lord? Why did my loved one die? Why have I got this sickness and it has happened to me? Why did this happen to me? And we begin to see our own self as we are. When we come to God with our resentments and anger and frustrations, we may see how we might be accidentally, maybe, or intentionally nursing a grudge, our subtle need to control others, our refusal to come to terms with the death of a loved one, or maybe it's our refusal to take our own responsibility in a situation in our lives. You see, when we refuse to come to terms with events such as death or disease or divorce or job loss or other things which we have no control over, then we push ourselves into the vanity of being God. We think that we know how things should be. Finally, by going to God in prayer, that talk back to him, it puts us in touch with a person who can deal with our anger, our frustrations, and our resentments, and he's not put off by it because we are at the source of who can truly answer prayers. So when you pray the prayer of frustration that Moses prayed, and I mean, you ought to read, oh Lord, either fix this situation or fix me, and I don't care which, just take care of this mess or get me out of it. The burden of the situation and responsibility that I'm in right now is killing me. Lord, you can do that. And hear these words from Isaiah 1:18. Join with me in reading those. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And the words of Jesus right below that, Revelation 3:20. Let's read them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door and let me in, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. When it comes to prayer, it is a good thing to be honest with God and with yourself. It's only then that we can really receive the direction and we can be truly open to the possibility of his real intervention in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, you know us, everyone here. You know our frustrations and our resentments. You know the things that eat on us. And Lord, we come to you today and we lift them up to you. And some of us probably are praying the prayer of Moses, either fix it or fix me. I don't care which. Just take care of this mess or get me out of it. Lord, I join with those prayers in whatever they need to be. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.